Welcome to the Leadership Forum.
We call this the Leadership Forum,
where we discuss leaders and followers.
It's not a political trick.
This episode is a repeat of the live session that happens on Monday's mid-morning show with Omboi Mboro.
Every once in a while, we have to talk about some issues that affect all of us.
Featuring the Bishop of Christ is the Answer Ministries, Bishop David Oginde.
There are things that one can be able to do in order for them to be able to get to where they want to go.
The Leadership Forum.
Leadership Forum, only on Hope FM.
Listen and live.
And you are at the Leadership Forum with Bishop of Christ is the Answer Ministries with us, Bishop David Oginde with us, as we look at matters to do with leadership as well as matters that have to do with followers. And during this time, we also take a little bit of time to analyze and to look at matters that have to do with the current situation in the country and in the globe at large. We are on the SMS line 20933. That's for your responses, for your questions, for your comments. SMS line 20933, as well as Twitter, the handle at Hope On, not on air, but Hope FM Live. That's Hope FM Live. I am seeing someone who's saying, please, Omboi, ask Bishop to comment on the selective application of the law, especially on political gatherings. Lazarus, you're in Kayole. Thank you for your question there. I will be taking more of the questions and more of the comments as we get along. Bishop, before we take the comment or the question from Lazarus, who feels that the selective application of the law where these COVID guidelines are concerned, I think let's go back a little bit to where we were last time so that we pick it up and then we will come back to the questions.
Okay.
I think from what I heard from a number of people who were very excited last Monday,
falling water house.
That carried the day.
Oh, really?
It did. A number of people called me to specifically tell me they actually Googled, they saw
the house,
and they were amazed that restrictions gave birth to that kind of innovation.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, somebody wrote to me and wanted that discussion.
Oh, because
of the falling water house.
That was amazing.
They looked for it and it was there. And so they said, can I get this
discussion
on a podcast or something that I can share with others?
So, yes.
I hope that we can do that.
I hope we can do that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I believe it's possible.
So that others can benefit. But interesting that people found that profound. It is actually profound. It's one of the things we studied, as I said, in first year.
Yes.
University. We were told that in architecture, you don't use erasers.
Yes, you don't use.
No.
You don't rub anything.
No. Every mistake is an opportunity for greater creativity.
Yes.
And it is very true.
Yes.
Restrictions
bring opportunity.
Exactly. For creativity.
That was amazing. Another amazing thing from last Monday.
Yes.
From the feedback I got is the application of the time that Jesus had the two loaves.
And five fish.
And the five fish.
Okay.
And he give thanks.
So give thanks for 100.
With that 100, with what we do have,
yes,
a lot can happen.
Exactly.
The Lord can cause multiplication beyond anything that we can imagine.
Very true.
Yes. So thank you, Bishop. We are listening. You see now.
People are listening.
Ah, we are listening.
We thank God.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
All right. You want to pick it up from where we left it then?
Yes, we proceed from there. Basically, what we are talking about is learning, having a learning attitude in order to get into the space of creativity and innovation. For me, just after our session during the week, there was this young man from Kiambu, I believe, who had come up with a bed, a hospital bed. I don't know whether you saw it.
I did. Actually, there was something around that I should have raised. But go ahead, I will still raise it.
Yes.
Yes.
So he has, together with his friends in his small workshop, came up with this bed, hospital bed. Very innovative, very creative, that can recline and you can, you know, just the normal hospital bed, but created Juakali.
Mm.
And the president was so impressed that he placed a huge order. My fear now was, I hope they can deliver, because that was it 500 beds or something? And right away, the reporter was saying, this is coming to almost 40-something million. So this young man from this just a small workshop has been ushered into the multi-million arena.
Industry.
Because of creativity and innovation.
Mm.
So really, having that learning attitude, instead of crying and complaining and so on, looking at what can we do with what we have.
The young man, if I could, just before we continue with our learning, the young man, I saw that. And I had also seen before that, I had also seen the other one from Juja.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have many stations, so you watch one station today and you see this, and then you watch another station tomorrow and you see the other
another
one.
Another thing.
Now, the one in Juja, a masterpiece, really.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been at it for 2 years.
What was he making?
The same bed.
The same bed?
Yes, beds for hospital.
Okay.
Slightly different. Quite great. Quite great.
Right.
And I did, I watched some interview back to him after he heard about the Kiambu. And
he was saying, I'm also here.
He was even saying, and have been at this for so long and doing a great job for sure.
Yes.
I actually thought I could bring it up here because what I thought is, that was great, great innovation. I also had really liked his, he kept insisting he would never want to hear someone ever got an accident using his bed. There was this focus on the user.
Okay.
That was amazing.
Yes.
Well, so I'm looking at, this one came way after because these others from Kiambu,
mm-hmm.
they were saying they used to do masks and they realized this is flooded. But this guy has been at this one of Juja has been at the making of beds so that his clients were home-based.
Yes,
generally.
Okay.
Now, whatever made luck knock the door on the Kiambu ones, and not on his, but it made me wonder, how do you encourage such a person who's been creative, but somehow maybe the right people didn't notice at the right time?
Yeah.
How do you encourage them?
How do you encourage them?
Yes.
It's a very tricky thing. One of the things I say is from a spiritual perspective.
All right.
There's something called favor. The favor of God.
Favor.
The favor of God.
Yes.
So that, and I use this very simple example.
Mm-hmm.
You know the people who sell groceries on the streets?
Yes.
You know, tomatoes, onions, you know, cucumbers, all those things. And they have just as I've used that in several ways, but now in terms of favor.
Mm-hmm.
Each of them has like a meter of space.
Yes.
With their gunia on the floor, on the ground. They have organized their things there in heaps, you know, 10 shillings, 20 shillings, whatever.
Yeah.
And their whole line, 200 meters, so, you know.
Of them.
Of them.
True.
Next to each other, next to each other. Now, you would imagine that the people at the two ends would sell more Because when somebody arrives,
they're the first.
They're the first, so that they would theirs would sell faster. But you'll find somebody right in the middle sells and finishes and goes home. People come, they look, they end up here, they pick theirs and they go, you know, and so on. So sometimes that is just favor of God that we do not understand how it works. Some people is out of prayer. They actually prayed, God, as I'm going out to sell my nyanyas, please, you know my situation, you help me with this. Sometimes God himself sees their circumstances and just brings this favor upon them. And so from a human, non-religious perspective, you call it luck, you know, that, like you said, luck knocks at your door.
I was trying to be normal, ordinary language. Yeah.
So those kinds of things are very difficult to explain from just a natural human perspective. I only can explain it from a spiritual perspective, that God in his own way can give you favor. So if now, how do I encourage this person? I say, go to God and pray. Your turn will come. You know, you should not be jealous. If necessary, like I said, I do not know that these young people from Kiambu will be able to meet the demand, the order that has been put there. You know, because I don't know how long it takes them to make that one bed. So one of the things that in the developed world they do, and I see it a lot among the Asian community, the traders. When I was growing up, we ran a shop in a trading center.
Yeah.
And among the shops there was were some Asians, were some Indians. Back in the village, there were some Indians.
Just that you don't say.
I just don't say. So there were these two Indian shops. We learned a lot from them in terms of doing business. They believe in this one-stop shop. You know, when you come to my shop, everything you need
should be there.
It should be there. Whoa. And even if it is not there, the part of if it is not there is what I want to talk about.
All right.
So that they may come to your shop and they want this and they want that and they want the other and they want pass. So instead of telling them, we don't have that one, try in the next shop. They would send somebody to the next shop to go and get it for you.
They come to your shop now.
They come to my shop and say, do you have sugar? Our sugar has ran out, you know? And so how many kilos? 10 kilos. So we measure 10 kilos, we give to them, he goes to give to the customer. So the customer shops in that one shop without having to move around several shops picking things. They get very satisfied and very happy. And then those people then will now pay us
for your 10 kgs.
For our 10 kgs when the transaction is over. And we used to do likewise. So that was, we were like a supermarket run by different people. So whichever shop you entered first, you do all your shopping. And some of these things will come from different shops around you. So my advice would be, is that this person could link up with the other young person and say,
the Juja man to link up with
the Kiambu man.
Yeah.
And say, we can do this together. I have been doing this for a long time.
Okay.
And if you would like me to assist in meeting this order, because it can overwhelm you. There's a biblical story to that. You know?
Okay.
Peter and his friends are fishing in the lake. And the whole night they have labored, they caught nothing. Jesus appears and tells them, cast your net on the other side. Even though they resisted, finally they did. The fish they caught was so much that the Bible says the boat began to sink.
Bas.
What did they do?
They called Kina John.
They called the neighbors.
Yes.
Other boats to come and help them. Your success can sink you.
Wow.
It is true.
You better call the others.
Call others. So this Kiambu men, this yes. Kiambu young
yeah,
men.
Yeah, the Kiambu ones, yeah.
They could be sunk by the order.
The very order.
The very order they have been given, because it is too much. It is needed quickly. So you compromise on quality.
Wow.
Because you are not able to deliver as quickly. You have been working on this thing slowly because there's no market anyway. And you perfect it. You do it very well.
Yes.
But now you have this order of 500 beds. Within this period of time, you do not have time for quality.
Wow.
And that is how your business dies. Because wow. you take it there. And the very thing you say that they didn't want anybody to collapse or fall from their bed. Now the bed itself falls apart because they didn't take care of the quality. So how to do that is now you become a supervisor or a major supplier, but you get all these other people whose quality you believe in, and they do only a few each.
Ah, okay.
And you are able to meet your order. So that partnership can actually get even this Juja man.
Mm. And he's been at it longer, so
yes.
he may know some things.
So if I was a Kiambu man,
yeah,
and I have heard about the Juja man, I will go to the Juja man and say, let's do this thing.
Together.
Together.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
In partnership. And that's part of innovation, by the way.
Even that
is innovation.
Wow.
So you are accepting that there are things I don't know. The same learning attitude we are talking about.
All right.
So you go to the Juja man, you have been at this thing longer, I've received this order. We are definitely not in a position to make all these beds within the time that is required. Because you have been at this longer, I'll put you in charge of quality assurance.
So that no one can fall.
Yes, no bed will come out of here that does not meet the quality.
Wow.
And because you have been at it, give us how to do it and let's do it together. And they could form an enterprise, the Kiambu Juja Enterprise.
Wow. And the very skies are the limit.
The limit. And so they could now begin to get orders from abroad, you know?
Who knows?
Who knows?
Wow.
But if now the Kiambu man says, this is my chance, I'm not going to share with anybody what the Lord has put in my hands, the success could sink them.
Wow. Okay.
Because supplying those number of beds
hospital beds,
hospital
not
beds.
Just beds.
It's not easy. I saw the way they were showing
yes.
the because I even wondered some of those items they were using in the mechanics of it are parts of vehicles, you know.
Mm.
So where do you get these parts? Most likely they get them from the scrap metal places. Mm. You know, used. But now you may not get that supply of 500 of them from
unless,
a scrap heap.
Yeah, unless
so you may have now to go
have
to
a
the
partnership.
Shop.
I hear
and
you.
And then the price of the bed gets higher and higher. And
yeah.
you're not able to supply. So
all right.
partnership really would really help them.
All right.
And the Juja man's time may also have come.
Okay.
But if it doesn't come that way, let him continue trusting God, doing his work faithfully.
Yeah.
Let him not cry. you know?
Mm.
And his turn will one day come.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. It's still part of innovation.
It is part of innovation.
All right.
Yes. Accepting that I don't know everything.
Okay.
And I bring in people who know something.
All right.
yes. This is part of the change leadership. Innovation and creativity is part of leading change. And one of the things I say is that change does not just happen. It must be made to happen. And to happen efficiently and to happen effectively. When we talked about it last week, that When people are satisfied with where they are, you cannot be creative, you cannot be innovative, you cannot bring about change. So it requires a person who is constantly scanning the environment and saying, we need change, we need to move ahead, we need to do something differently. And that is what will cause the change. So the wheels of change are driven by two key factors that we have already talked about, innovation and creativity. Sometimes we use these words interchangeably, but they are slightly different. Innovation is an adoption of an existing idea and putting it, using it in a creative way. So innovation does not always have to be original. You know, when you are innovative, you use what is there in a creative manner. So that's what we call innovation. Creativity tends to be original. You come up with new ideas, new ways of doing things. So both innovation and creativity are what will drive effective, impactful change. So sometimes you see, like now, the Kiambu man may go and see the beds of the Juja man and learn something out of that to improve their own beds or to improve the production. That is innovation. Mm-hmm. Learning from others, learning from what already exists, improving on what already exists. That is innovation. So you can say, so-and-so has done this in such an innovative manner. You know, it is not that they have created something new, but they have made it more efficient, more effective, more less costly, and so on and so forth. So it is innovative. Creativity tends to be thinking through, coming up with an either brand new idea or a very different way that has not been used before.
Mm-hmm.
That requires more thinking. So innovation can be of a product, of a service, of technology, of administrative practice. In any field, you can be innovative. Like now, when there was the lockdown and closing of churches, some churches became innovative. How do we survive in this space? They came up with new ideas, new ways of still doing the old thing, but in a different way. So that is called innovation. So it could be a new product that improves on the previous product, a new service that improves on the normal way of giving a service, a new technology that improves on the previous technology, and so on and so forth. This is different from creativity or new creation, which comes up with a totally new thing that people have not seen before, but solving a problem that is already there. So the organizations then that survive within a competitive environment are those organizations that generate and implement greater, better ideas or more innovative, efficient ways of doing things. Those are the organizations that will have a distinct advantage in the global environment. And now, because of the internet, our competition has moved from your next door neighbor to the global neighbor. You know,
whether it's business or church,
anywhere,
yes,
in almost any field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, even Mama Mboga is facing competition.
Oh, sure.
You know, because people are ordering,
they're
online.
Yes,
you know, and your Mboga is delivered to your door. So the people,
I don't have to walk down there now anymore.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
There's a person I used to buy my newspapers from for a long time.
You've stopped.
I stopped a few years ago.
Now look at you. See your life. Because you went digital.
Digital. So now I get my newspaper digitally.
Wow.
So I pass this man and sometimes feel like maybe I should just buy a pep for the sake of it.
What should he do?
Think creatively. Think creatively. You remember we were on this in this program. Maybe it was the same time we were discussing this in the first round.
Mm.
When Uber first came.
That's some time back.
The
COVID had not shown up.
No. You can't talk about COVID. It was not even in our vocabulary.
No.
This was many years ago when yes. Uber just came into
yes,
the country.
I remember.
And you remember the local taxis
yes.
went on a strike or a riot for government to stop Uber from invading their space.
Yeah.
And I remember saying in this station that they are fighting a losing battle.
I remember.
Yeah, that is a losing battle.
I even remember my compassionate approach because I was feeling, these people of the taxi, as yes. we know, they've suffered also from border.
Yes.
Now again...
The Uber comes in.
Yeah, my heart went out to them.
It is okay to have compassion. but you see, that is like somebody having compassion on a pupa that is turning into a butterfly.
Okay.
You know?
It looks like agony, but...
It is part of growth.
It's part of
and
growing.
Development.
Huh?
And I said at that time, what these people need to do is to adjust to the new environment. Let them create their own Uber.
Okay.
To compete with this other Uber and drive them out of business. You know? Develop an app.
Uh-huh.
Because Uber is just an app. Develop an app that fights with this other app. And you will be okay. But to go on strike, call on the government, it is a losing game. It's a losing battle. Because technology innovation is the new thing, and you are not going to survive. Yesterday we were talking about this also in the church environment. I think God has just given us an opportunity as a Christian community, and I want to talk specifically about the Christian community, to rethink ministry.
Okay.
We must rethink ministry. How are we going to do ministry going forward? We must begin to think be outside the walls. I know we normally say outside the box. Now we must think outside the walls. Even if we go back to our normal churches, church congregations, the people who are going to survive in the next 20, 30 years are not people who are congregating within the walls. That phase is ending. I don't have to be a prophet to say that. That phase is ending. Very soon, very few people are going to go to a physical church environment.
What happens to our buildings?
Our buildings, what are happening to them in UK?
Don't say that.
Don't even say that.
Don't.
In the US, we have a church in the US.
Yes.
So we were looking for a place we could either buy or rent. And one idea was somebody said, churches are always being sold. Church buildings are always being sold.
Why in the US?
Yes, in the US. Why don't we check? We just Googled hundreds of churches, church buildings were on sale.
Oh.
Hundreds, not one, not twice, not 10. And just within the locality we were looking, these hundreds were not the whole of the US.
You didn't search too much.
No, within this locality that we were looking, hundreds emerged, beautiful buildings being sold at throwaway prices because nobody wants to buy a church building. Hundreds
wow.
were being sold. So in another, let me be generous, 20, 30 years, but I think it will be less. These buildings that we are in, called churches, are going to be sold. They are not going to be there. They are not going to be useful.
But
there are people who are already saying, just through this experience of being online and on TV and radio, that they are not coming back to church, you know, because they have found it so convenient that you
can just sit and
just have your service at home
and listen to the WM meeting.
Exactly.
It was fun.
Imagine that Nancy was telling me WM meeting that took place on Saturday, they had how many? 70,000.
Yes.
Who are watching? Normal WM meeting.
And they didn't count the radio listeners.
Exactly.
Yes.
Normal WM meeting is about 700, 1,000. When you have 5,000, 1,000, they are ecstatic. I mean, this was a great attendance. Now we are reaching tens of thousands. Who wants to go back to the physical meeting?
Who wants?
If really your aim is ministry.
Then it's happening.
If your aim is ministry, it is happening. So really, the physical meetings could be used for other functions, but not that ministry that you want to give to the women.
The other one now is for fellowship.
For fellowship, for
really
breaking of bread.
Fellowship, yeah.
Yeah, home to home. So you can see how these buildings are very soon going to be obsolete.
Yes.
So our thinking must now be beyond the buildings.
Yeah.
How do we do ministry in the new environment? I was talking to a leader from one of the big stations, media houses.
Okay.
They are thinking seriously of shutting down and going online.
Mm.
Why? Because the online is giving them stiff competition. Yes, not just what they are looking for, but
yes.
Stiff competition.
Okay.
Because stations, media houses depend on advertisement.
Mm.
Advertisement has moved to the YouTube. Advertisement has moved into Facebook. So you are stuck here with your TV and you're not getting advertisement to keep you going. What do you do? You shut down.
You go where they are.
You go where they are.
You give them what they are looking for. Can you imagine?
Yes, because that's where advertisement has gone. Now, you go to YouTube, for example, you can hardly watch a movie or an event
without an advert.
The adverts come every few seconds, every few minutes. That is the revenue that used to go to the TV stations. And now that space is not regulated. I can start my TV station.
Right now,
from today, with no licensing, no staff, no equipment from my phone, and I run a full station. And depending on the kind of content I would be giving, I could easily get advertisement because of the traffic that is coming to my channel. And that is what is happening. So now, that space that used to be so controlled by the big media houses has been invaded by people who have not even gone to a journalism school.
I know. I know.
So Wamboi has to look for another job.
Truly.
Yes. Yeah. And if you don't think carefully, you'll be out of business.
Yes.
So that is the world that we are getting into. That's the world we are going into. And so we are saying innovation, creativity is not an option. It is not an option. If we are going in whichever field, and this covers every field, we have said even Mama Mboga is running out of business. Safaricom has gone into distribution of newspapers.
Wow.
You know that?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
You are not aware of that.
Yes, yes.
They have partnered with the big newspapers, Nation and Standard, to distribute newspapers. And so at 20 bob, you can get your newspaper on your phone. The vendor has just lost business.
Now, can innovation, can the speed, I want to ask about the negatives. You know, can we get into this creativity, into this innovation spaces too fast for our own good?
No, creativity cannot never? Be too fast. No.
Never.
It's just that creativity is like an aeroplane or a train that is timed. If you don't get in on time, you are left behind. That's the negative side of it. So the things we are talking about, if you don't get into it on time, you are left behind. And so for you, it's a negative. For the rest of the people, what does creativity do? What does innovation do? It makes life easier for your customer, for your clients.
Okay,
that's what it does.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I need a newspaper, just using the last example I've used. What I need is to read a newspaper and get the news. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, normally I would send my son, please go to the road
get me
a newspaper. Now I don't have to send. It is right on my phone. So I'm still getting the same newspaper in a convenient way at a cheaper price.
Seated at home.
Instead of paying 60 shillings, I'm paying 20 shillings.
For the same.
For the same material.
That one is over.
So now where is the negative of it? For me as a customer, for me as a client, there's no negative. It is negative on the vendor. The newspaper
who
vendor.
Who must now
look for other things.
Other alternatives.
Other alternatives.
Get creative.
Yes. You remember there was a fight among the tea pickers. When the tea picking machine came.
Yes, I remember.
And their union fought for them. But that's only for a while. It's only for a while.
It's inevitable.
It is inevitable.
You can only buy time, maybe to...
You can buy time, yes.
Now,
but you cannot... It's Victor Hugo who said, there's nothing as powerful as an idea whose time
has come. Yes, I knew that.
You know that one.
I have had it.
So when an idea... the time for an idea has come, it is so powerful, you either join it or it sweeps you away.
Now, somebody had asked, and I think this would be someone from Christ is the Answer Ministries.
Yes.
Sitam, my query, moving the ark. So now? Moving the ark is about building...
Sanctuaries. We will still continue building sanctuaries.
Okay.
Because, like I said, in my view, it is something of 20, 30 years. But really, we have to start thinking more seriously about the future church. And thankfully for us, we had already started that. We saw that the future of the church is on the cyberspace. So we started Sitam Church Online. Interestingly, this COVID lockdown has helped us to develop that and take it to another level. We were trying to see how do we get these people who are online into a space of discipleship and so on as we would in a different, in a physical building. This last week, our Sitam Church Online sent out an advert that all those people who have been saved online and would want to get into a new believers class for them to register for a 5-week
program.
Uh-huh. Within just a short time, over 100 and something had registered.
Wow.
So now they are going to be discipled
online.
They could be in Australia.
We don't know.
They could be in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
They could be wherever. So you are beginning to see that, hey, this church online is the place of the future. So what we now need to do is to transition so that the moving the ark moves now into the cyberspace. So as we continue to do our physical church services, our eyes must be focused on the church of the future,
which is online.
Which is online. Or it may be been in a different way.
Okay.
So what we now need to put is structures and systems that can help us to minister to people, the new person who is ever mobile, ever, you know, there are people who are left the country and have been away. But because of this new environment, some of them have rejoined their small group Bible studies.
True.
Which they were not attending before because they were physical.
Yes.
But now they are so happy that they can attend their Bible study group while they are in UK, while they are in Saudi Arabia, while they are in South Africa, while they are wherever. So they are connecting with home. So can you see that happening? It's because now with the global environment, what you call globalization, people are going to be mobile all over the place. You know, just before the lockdown, somebody tells you, I'm just dashing to London. I'll be back tomorrow. You know, those things never used to. We used to carry banana leaves to go into the airport to escort people. You can no longer take banana leaves with tattoos to escort people. They have somebody just dashing to the New York.
Be back.
And they'll be back tomorrow.
we too will be back on Monday.
We too have to take a break and come back on Monday.
Wow.
So you find that now life for the church specifically, we have to really think, how do we minister to people in the new environment?
Thank you.
How do we evangelize?
Yes, in the new environment. Yeah. We have to get innovative and we have to get creative.
Exactly.
Thank you so much, Bishop.
Join us next week, same time, for another episode of the Leadership Forum.